Good afternoon. My name is Derek Miedema. I'm a researcher at the IMFC, and I'd like to update you about two of my papers that I wrote in the past year. The first one is called Public Education and Parental Choice. In this paper, I looked at enrollment trends in Ontario schools, public and independent schools, and I also looked at funding levels between those two systems, and it was quite dramatic, actually. We can find that over the last 5 to 10 years, enrollment has been declining in the public school system, and that's understandable because we're having fewer children in the context of an aging society. But enrollment is declining in public schools while funding is going up, up, up. Independent schools are bucking that trend. Independent schools are seeing a small increase, and yet funding levels in Ontario remain nil for independent schools. We could say, on the one hand, let the money follow the parents, but then I ran some other numbers and found that by virtue of taking their children out of the public school system, parents of independent school children saved the Ministry of Education in the year 2005 approximately $1.1 billion. And so we can also ask, since they have saved the Ministry of Education that much, since the money should follow the parents, why can the government not broach the topic of how these parents are paying twice, paying educational taxes they're forced, they have to pay, and taking on additional tuition for independent schools? Certainly not an issue where I wrote this paper intending to change public policy, but it is an issue that I think shows that on issues like these at the IMFC, we don't shoot to write a paper that says how things can be, as much as we endeavor to do solid research, look at the numbers, and on the basis of those numbers, throw it out there, how should this be done? And I'm thrilled if a paper like this becomes part of kitchen table conversations around the province as much as I would be if it was being discussed in the halls of power at Queen's Park. But that paper, again, is Public Education and Parental Choice, Enrollment Trends in Ontario Schools. You can find that either on the side table or you can download a free copy on our website. The second paper I'd like to highlight is one called Government Gambling and Broken Families, How Problem Gambling Affects Families. This paper was released in October of this past year. And in it, I examined some of the problems caused for families by problem gambling. I read a study, for example, where children gave a first-hand account of hanging on to their mother and pleading for their mother to stay, and instead she chose to make another trip to the casino to gamble. And in that situation, we can see very clearly that for children, it is not only a financial loss. It's true that where a family budget is a limited amount of funds, if more goes to gambling, less goes to food. If more goes to gambling, less goes to mortgage, less goes to heat and hydro, less goes to school trips. We can see there's a financial damage for members of the family. But I can't imagine what a child would be thinking if they know in their bones that at that instant their mother is more concerned about spending money at the casino than she is about providing food for their table. That's a profound emotional injury as well. Now, those who look at this issue will look at one number, and I found a study which said that about 3.2% of adult Canadians have a gambling problem, and when I say they have a gambling problem, it's that they're gambling so much that it has negative consequences for their finances, for their job, for their relationships. It interferes in all those areas of life. So they'll say only 3%. We can't change policy on that basis. But I found a study from Australia, and we can understand this on the basis that every gambler is perhaps a spouse, a parent, a child, a coworker. We can estimate that anywhere from 12 to 25% of the Canadian population could be negatively affected by problem gambling. This isn't a problem that we can sweep under the table. So given this reality, there's a real conflict of interest in a situation where the same government is gunning for more profit from gambling and is also, with their other hand, spending for problem gambling initiatives to treat addicts or to avoid addiction. A recent study in Alberta found that in that province, 80% of all revenue from gambling came from 10% of the population. So there is no way that a government that is pushing for higher revenue from gambling can realistically make any effort to get the big spender problem gamblers to shut their wallets, otherwise their revenues would plummet. So if you're interested in this paper, again, Government Gambling and Broken Families, it's also available on the sideboard or downloadable from our website.